Good afternoon, everybody. This is Anthony Kilmer here with Supernal Magazine Radio, coming to you live, well, as a recorded live show through DRN One Life, and that's drn.com, drn1.com /life. And we've got a really interesting guest to come back on again today, and my co-host today is Freya Savitri Sampson, all the way from Western Australia. Hello, Freya.
Hi, everybody. Good to be here.
It is good. And our guest today is Rame.
Hello.
Richards, and from Crystal Dreaming fame, creator of, with help from. How are you, Rame?
Very good. I'm happy to be talking with you. I hope I can share some useful information today.
I'm sure you will. I don't think we've had a conversation that you haven't had people actually enthralled with what you're saying. So that's, I think we'll be doing well. So, so it's been a very interesting month with everything that's going on. We've got our huge self-actualization issue out, which has just been massive. And of course, Rame, I know Freya did some work with you on that. For one of the stories in the book, and we quote you doing a few things, or in the magazine.
It's like a small book, so that's okay. We understand why you said that.
Yeah, exactly. 120 pages plus. Thank you very much. It has brought up a whole lot of stuff, really, about the whole issues of everything that's currently playing out in the world. And so, one of the things that we were going to talk to you about, Freya was going to talk to you about, Rame. See, all my words are all over the place today. You can tell we've only been at a deadline a few days. But is your take on all sorts of different topics in relation to what's happening and that story and all the rest of it. So, Freya, I might sort of throw over you to sort of fire some of the questions at Rame and catch up, because you're a bit more across it than even I am at the moment.
Okay. So one of the, I suppose, the key things that is that spurned the article that was written, which was conspiracy theories, origins, application, and present day use, was that that's been a huge subject matter because there is so much misinformation that is shared. And I myself have seen plenty of things on social media and other all sorts of platforms that are taken out of context, that are, all sorts of things are done to manipulate points of view. So there's that aspect to it. And also even for people to understand what it actually meant, where did it even come from? How did we get here? What are we doing now? And the Rame's part of that I included at the end, which was because Rame's wizardry lies in the realms of shamanism, and through the Crystal Dreaming registered modality. So pop that in there, which covers not only the concept of conspiracy theory and secret societies, but all manner of other things. When you read the books, when you undergo the training, and then obviously facilitating for people, these are things that you encounter as you go through the process. And I really enjoy what Rame has to share about that, because it puts it into a perspective that most people don't even think about. So, Rame, what would you like to share around that subject matter, or how did that even ever come up in sessions to start with?
Well, primarily what I need to share is that it's part of what's happening, rather than being divisive and confusing, mm-hmm. could actually take people into their hearts and into understanding their own intuition. Mm-hmm. But confusion is sown and fertilized by organizations and people that will benefit from that. So part of that understanding the truth, apart from doing physical research, is actually to go within and listen to your own intuition. Obviously, in my case, experience a crystal dreaming session or something similar that bypasses the mind. So the big thing I'm seeing at the moment, and kind of tragically in a way, is some people who I held in fairly high regard propagating more separation, duality, and that in turn propagates confusion and moves into judgment, as in, you're not in my group that believes this, therefore you're an idiot. And that's the kind of polarization I'm seeing. I'm sure probably all your listeners have seen it. And that's tragic, and it's sad, but it is avoidable. I think it's easier for me if you ask me questions, because I can rave on and not really know whether I'm talking about what's appropriate. So fire a few questions at me and make it much easier for me to answer.
Yeah, well, what you're saying then is really important though, Rain, because I was just talking to a family friend or family member this morning, and I was pointing out some of the facts that we picked up about what we cover in the issue. And they just looked at me with this funny look on their face and said, "So which conspiracy theory are you following?"
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not following any conspiracy theory. I'm actually going to, you know, going down the path of trying to understand the science and trying to understand what's going on in the background. And I think that's where all that divisiveness is coming from, because, you know, everyone's being pitted against each other. You know, have you had it? Have you not? What are your thoughts? Why? You must be a conspiracy theorist and you're not allowed to have your say. You must be wrong. That's what you just said as that introduction is, I think, just really pertinent about what's
going on. Or more to the point, you don't subscribe to my conspiracy theory, therefore your conspiracy theory is wrong.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you don't subscribe to my conspiracy theory, therefore your common sense is wrong. Mm-hmm. So it's that separation that's not serving anything at all. Well, it is serving some beings that prosper through confusion and separation. However, I will remind us all of Saint Germain's great quote, where he said, "Don't read confusion, read cofusion." So there's an opportunity in that kind of nothingness of confusion to find clarity if you don't particularly buy into a belief system.
Yeah.
I was going to share, years ago, my partner and I discovered Falun Gong, connected with Falun Dafa, the banned organization in China. She's a champion martial artist. I've done martial arts. And what Falun Gong offered was an absolutely superb precis of Qigong, a shortcut to Qigong, one that was very accessible to people, and I thought it was great. The challenge came when, the peeps from head office came down and said, "You're not subscribing to the master's belief system, therefore," and he is correct. So it was bye-bye for me then, bye-bye Falun Gong, which I think initially was offered in a spirit of open-hearted sharing. And the intention was that all people could adopt a well-being practice rather than a martial art that was accessible, easy to learn, and all of that. But what I saw happen there very quickly within Australia was that people jumped on board and said, "This is the way. This is the only way." And, of course, we all know, yeah, there are many, many ways. And my personality type's such that as soon as somebody tells me this is the way, I'm like, I'm gone. You know, it's like Groucho Marx. I wouldn't want to be a member of a club that anyone would have me as a member of.
I want
to come back to the book that we took a couple of quotes out, if that's okay, which is called Spirit Guide by Rain. And, Rain, currently you have a wonderful opportunity for people to access that book, don't you?
It's free, yes, and it will stay free for the foreseeable future as an iBook on Apple Books or iBooks.
We'll share that Amazon link.
Yes, I've already spoken to Anthony about that. And Amazon insist I charge $1 for it. It's free or very affordable, depending on which platform you're with, and it will stay free because I think it's time to share it, and I hope that it will bring people into my other books, Spirit World, and of course, eventually Crystal Dreaming, because the content of the book was gleaned through thousands of Crystal Dreaming sessions.
Really,
I'm writing, as I do in Spirit World, I'm writing about what people have discovered in their sessions without any real agenda on my part.
And I want to come back to the what you said before is about how people to use their intuition. And there's actually exercises all throughout this book and affirmations that people can say to help them to step outside of confusion, distortion, all those sorts of things. Like, for instance, on page 35, how to perceive truth. And the affirmation that says, I, in your name of my own free will now call on the divine for guidance. Infinite creator, please connect me to my own inherent wisdom. Help me perceive when I am being told the truth by sending positive feelings through my body. Help me feel when I am being misled by sending feelings of discomfort through my body. I am always under divine guidance. I am always aware of the truth, so be it. And that's just so it's palpable when, because no, there's two things that are important for, I feel, our listeners to come to terms with. One is that the power of the word, and the other is the feeling. Would you like to share something on that, please, Ryan?
Well, it's easier for me to talk about my recent personal experience when it comes to feeling. And, of course, it will remain topical for a while with the availability and encouragement for people to take vaccines for the current pandemic. Counterintuitively and counter to what I would think would be logical thought on my part, as soon as I became aware of the mRNA variation of the vaccine, I got a very clear feeling, yes, this is good, and a very neutral to negative feelings about the other vaccine. Now, my logical mind is saying, why on earth would I consent or want to take on board anything that interferes with my DNA? But then when you fall back away from the logical mind into your experience and your feelings, and you'd know this as a practitioner, what we do in crystal dreaming is change the DNA, which was ridiculed 25, 30 years ago, and now we're offering vaccines in a needle that will do just that temporarily. So my experience I do research, I do read as well as feel, and there was an absolutely counterintuitive, very clear message that if I was going to take a vaccine, it would be an mRNA vaccine, one that temporarily changed my DNA. So that's an example of how the feeling can contradict the logic, and I know which one I'll be listening to.
Yes, that intuition may be different for every individual. So it's about your relationship with spirit and whatever questions you're asking your soul and the guidance that comes back in crystal dreaming, because, you know, once people move past spirit guide and into spirit world and the process itself, they start to, you know, come to terms with some very, very unusual stories that come up, things that are far beyond your logical and wildest mind and wildest dreams.
Your logical mind. Right.
And when a person is in a session, it's part of the process is that the facilitator stays right out the way. Not once do they ever make any statements to the participant or the client that you are experiencing this. It's always a question, because when the person is having that experience that's beyond their logical mind, how they know that it's real for them is their feeling. Because once that emotion comes out, regardless of what that emotion is, that's what's been trapped in the cellular memory. So that's the importance of the feeling, because no one can make you feel anything. You can be reactive to someone's comments or whatever, but no one can make you feel.
Yeah, and I actually think in that situation, it's quite hard to make yourself feel anything, in so much as it's quite hard to create a major emotion that in the session comes up spontaneously, because it's connected in the clearing process with major emotional trauma, which is news usually to the client. So, yeah, coming back to my feeling and intuition, I had a counterintuitive feeling. But really, when you step back and think about it, maybe it's not so counterintuitive when you work in the realm that we work in. And, you know, I know another person that develops DNA reprogramming drops. And again, she was ridiculed for years, but science moves on.
Yes, that's,
It's supposedly going to catch up with us at some point.
I reckon. The more I read, I think science, I get that the logical mind needs everything proving, and that what we deal with is a subjective experience, albeit a multiplied common subjective experience, if you see what I'm saying, that people access the same superconscious regardless of belief system or background. And I kind of get that that's needed, and I kind of get that people need to read that logical breakdown of how a multiverse might exist, when we've actually been operating in the multiverse for a quarter of a century at least.
Well,
and of course our predecessors for a lot longer.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I have to admit, on Sunday night, we were having a bit of a veg night and we watched Doctor Strange.
Oh, we love Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange has to be the most phenomenally well thought out movie for when dealing with multiverse and how you can move through and around time, and how everything can exist in different space, in different time, yet still be in the moment with yourself. And so, you know, I'm sitting back watching it, and with everything that I've learned over the years, and you sit back and you think, whoever wrote this was really clever. Mm. And whoever did the art direction behind that was even more clever, because they were able to incorporate so many different sacred geometry shapes and designs in the movement of everything. So I think, you know, if I was going to suggest to everybody or anybody that's listening to watch a movie that helps you understand operating in multiple time zones, all the rest of it, that is the movie to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I remember when that movie came out, remember Rame's comment was, this is the closest thing I've ever seen in cinematography to the experience of crystal dreaming. Mm. Yeah. I agree.
The only thing that I got upset about was his car got written off at the start. You know, he was pretty arrogant with his life.
Well, he was. He was. He was very much an ego-based individual that needed taking up. So, I mean, in terms of the pattern of spiritual awakening, that's pretty spot on.
Absolutely, yeah.
And being a car man yourself, Anthony.
Yes, that's why I was upset. I'd only ever dream about, you know, that, driving that sort of car, or owning one anyway. But, you know, it's really funny, because there are so many aspects of what crystal dreaming is about, even with my sort of basic experience and what I've been doing. And obviously there's a lot in that. But it takes a bit for people to get their heads around it. And like Dr. Strange did, he fought all the way until he suddenly realized, hang on, there's something to this.
Yeah.
And I think when people make that mental connection, the logical connection, that there's something to this, that's when their heart opens up. That's when the stuff comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just my little view on it.
Well, our society is very thought-based, and it's very once removed experience through movies. Fortunately, you know, we don't go out and have pitch battles and do sieges and all of that, which is very visceral.
Yep.
So our present day society is visual. It's over there, and it's not necessarily in here, which of course is the opening to the centre of the universe, if not the centre of the universe itself. Certainly the portal is within each and every one of us, and our present day Western society in particular really, I was going to say raises it, but does its very best to dismiss it and push it to one side, because logic and science have become the masters. Mm-hmm. And of course, along with that, consumerism and luxury. Yes. So, you know, I like a bit of luxury. I'm a Leo. It's part of my nature. I love to luxuriate. But it's obviously, it's not the be-all and end-all of what we are, but that's unfortunately what it's become for a large section of the society. But that can change, and it can change in a moment.
I think it will. I mean, you know, even the age of McMansions, as we call them here in Melbourne, where you've got to have your entertainment room, you've got to have your study, you've got to have your four bedrooms, you've got to have this, you've got to have that. I think even that's changing to a certain point. Mm-hmm. As people realise, well, maybe with all the lockdowns we've been through, that they want to, one, get out of the state, but two, they want to go out into a tree change. And we're seeing that a lot out in where I am in the trees. A lot of houses going up for sale, a lot of them selling very quickly for big money. And, you know, you just think, well, that consumerism, what's changing? Are they realising that there's more to life now because they've been locked up so much? Mm. There's still the anger, the frustration, the mental health issues around all of that, of course. But I do hope and put it out there and see a change where people will sort of move into a slightly different phase and be more cordial, respectful of their environment, the people they're working with.
I'm more appreciative of everything they've got.
Yeah.
I see and feel that happening. It's just a matter of how much it's happening. Of course, I live in a bubble where I live, but I do have a connection with the big cities, and I feel it's happening. It'll be interesting to see how it manifests, because I think you're right. The pandemic and lockdown, I mean, the blessing of the pandemic is that people aren't keeling over covered in boils. It's quite a hidden pandemic. Mm-hmm. And its effects are quite hidden. And fortunately, in this country, we don't see much of the effects. In other parts of the world, you would. Sorry, I've gone off on a tangent. I can't remember where I was going.
That's right. We're looking at it's all about, you know, understanding where the change is going to take us in a positive way. Yes,
right. That's right. That's right. And that's what the pandemic's brought about. That's the mm-hmm. positive of it, is I think people are valuing friendships more. Mm-hmm. Valuing relationships and family and home. Friendships. I know people locked down in Melbourne who are really now treasuring their friendships. They're going out and enjoying their friendships, where it was like, oh, how are you going? Let's swap texts. Let's, you know, send each other an emoji. Now they're actually going out and having a little party and doing activities together that are fun. So that's the positive, I think.
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, it's easy when you're getting impacted by so much negativity and people dying and all that sort of stuff. And certainly I have been massively in the last 12 months. So it's easy to keep going down that depressed state. But I think the enlightenment state is the one that we're all of us spiritual people are now trying to push out there to say to people, come on. There are positives here. We can get through this. And it doesn't mean you have to curtail to a particular mandate or a particular political party. Let's do it because we want to all move forward.
Yeah, that's what I perceive. That's what I hope is happening once people get through this silly separation of I'm right, you're wrong.
Yes.
You know, my for want of a better description, my conspiracy theory is better than your conspiracy theory.
It's called one-upmanship, and Australians are bloody good at it. Anyone just jump in there before, Freya?
Yes. Well, I think there's been so much that's come out there in the last minute. I agree with everything you've both said. It's it's very difficult to find the at the moment for everyone to come together. And we know how energy works, that when you fight something, you make it bigger. So it doesn't matter whose conspiracy theory is fighting whose conspiracy theory. It's actually just expanding the ramifications, and that makes more to clean up.
So actually, it's expanding fear.
Yeah, which is what I mean. It makes more to clean up.
Yeah.
You know, perpetuates the cycle. We just keep going round and round. And what is fear? We know it's a false expectation or evidence appearing real. And that we have two choices. You know, at that point, we can face everything and rise, which is what I'd highly recommend, or forget everything and run and stick our head in the sand. And so that's, we can't do that. We can, but it's not advisable. Let's all face everything and rise and find the golden thread of truth that runs through all things. That's where we go back into the heart and intuition and
trusting, you know, that what you're doing is right.
And situational intelligence is a really, you know, big part of it, not just situational intelligence, but situational intelligence with heart consciousness. It's that heart wisdom, situational wisdom is really what we require. And just to come back, remembering us back to this lovely book again, which I keep doing. I'm doing it again.
Well, I hope people realise it's free. They can Google it.
It is. So we'll have a link there. On
is that obvious enough for you, Rome?
We'll have a link on the bottom of the thing as well, so that everyone can go get the book. There's a quote that we put into the magazine regarding conspiracy theories. Now, Rome, can you talk about that a little bit more? Because you said this sort of the content of this book has come out of people's sessions, and you've written it as you go. So you mention in here conspiracy theories, secret societies, and that they may not be focused on the evolution of mankind as a whole, or raising of mass consciousness, or on the long-term well-being of the planet. So could you speak a little more about about the statement that you've put in the book on conspiracy theory?
Okay, well, it's the whole story of... Well, I guess you can go, I'm sure you can go further back than that, but if you go back to serfdom, the enclosures, the start of the Industrial Revolution, where everyone was living quite happily with their goat and their little plot, and suddenly the lords and ladies said, no, that's our land. You can't have your goat and your plot anymore. You'll have to go and work in a factory. So there's a desire from elite to control the serfs, those uninitiated, those who weren't born into money, or those that were, more specifically, those that weren't born into power. And that's just a rippling wave that goes way, way, way back. I mean, who knows when it started? Who knows what it was like in ancient Egypt? We have some ideas, but so what the statement's about is to say, beware of anyone, any organization. Well, beware of every organisation, actually. Beware of any organisation. As I said before, who would want to join an organisation that would have me as a member? So beware of all organisations, particularly organisations that promote propaganda and trains of thought. So the most recent thing I've witnessed, and I quote an article you could probably find online, and maybe I can find a link if you want, is the whole QAnon story. Which a game designer analysed what was happening with QAnon, and he said basically the way people are drip-fed information is the perfect game. It's not a dump of information like you got from WikiLeaks or something like that, like a huge amount of real verifiable information. It's a trail of breadcrumbs that lead you to a desired outcome. And in the process, makes the participant feel that they're making the discovery. So
yeah.
In terms of, let's say, agendas and manipulation, I would say the QAnon is the modern equivalent. It is a very clear modern indication of how people have been absolutely led up the garden path without any concrete information, with very, very little concrete information, with lots of hints and lots of clues and lots of, you know, when you're in a game, if you go through this door, you'll discover that, and then you'll decide to turn left where the predetermined answer has been left for you, but it's not actually a full answer because you'll have to go further down the rabbit hole. Compare that to a dump of, you know, pages and pages and pages of actual information, and it's quite a different story.
Except that it's not a rabbit hole, is it? It's an oobly end, for those of you who've watched Labyrinth with David Bowie. And the other thing is, I just want to, for that article that Rame's talking about, we will have available in our resources section, the PDF on the website that is included in there. So we'll be able to access that.
I might just jump in there for a sec, Freya, too, because I think understanding how easy it is people can be manipulated one way or the other, depending on their thought processes, and how, if it's sort of put forward in a bit of a common sense way, they can disappear down into all these different places, regardless of how they do it. Even looking at the WikiLeaks stuff and seeing some of that, you know, you can read and then suddenly you're off over there, and then that takes you there, and then suddenly you're there, and then 4 hours later you come back to where you were and you go, did that really make sense to me? So I can see where that's part of the human condition, I think, to try and think logically and disappear and then say, well, I've got it. Our need to be individual, I guess, in a way too.
But part of it is the feeling that the reader is making the big discovery.
Yes.
And that's the challenge I have with the whole QAnon, which I use as an illustration of manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, you know, people talk about the terrible manipulation that, let's say, financial institutions, banks, all of that have manipulated people's thought forms and their money and their lives for profit. And then you've got another form of manipulation, which, because it's hip or okay, it somehow brings together extreme right, extreme left, because they both think they're making the big discovery, which mm-hmm. isn't actually based on much fact.
Yeah.
Do you see where I'm going? So,
oh, absolutely.
It would be great if people got that and went, all right, okay, well, I'll take that with a huge pinch of salt. And yes, I will do a bit more research and I will look into why this is triggering stuff in me, but I'm not going to buy it and I'm not going to jump on that happy horse and say it's this way or the highway.
Well, this is the important, and this was really very much part of the brief of why we put this big bumper issue together, for example, is to try and give people the resources to find out that information that are credible. And for the most part, I think we've done that. Two, we didn't want to pick fights with anyone, so we weren't trying to pick a fight with pro, anti, governments, anyone else. If someone wants to pick a fight with us, that's up to them. But we were trying to do the research and get the answers so that then we could say, right, so here's the thought process. We're not telling you what to believe and what not to believe, but you can follow your own trail to get to that. And in a way, I guess what you're saying about the QAnon stuff is one thing, and we're sort of doing a similar thing, but it's not sending people down a rabbit hole because we're giving them the actual fact that they're looking for.
Well, we didn't actually give QAnon any bandwidth whatsoever.
No, none.
Like literally none.
But I'm putting it in terms of where what Rame's talking about too. So, you know,
yes. Around.
Yeah.
And I'm just clarifying that because it's not, that's a whole different subject, and it's actually not one that I want to put my consciousness on because they don't want to go down or in or go down that oobly end.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I ended up looking at was a little bit about history, really, and when the major changes started happening in terms of how media happens these days.
Mm.
And it was actually fascinating because, you know, that all sort of happened in the early 1920s, actually. So with Sigmund Freud's work and Edward Bernays, his nephew, getting a hold of it and applying the proposed theories of Freud about how the human psyche is and works, and then taking the concept of propaganda and because at that time he observed everything that happened in World War One and how propaganda was utilized actually in all departments, whether it was coming from Germany or it was coming from anywhere else, how propaganda was utilized through media to get people to think and believe certain things. And yes, Anthony?
I really want to be a part of this whole conversation, but I have this personal matter that I'm going to have to go and deal with. So I just wanted to jump out at this point, but you know, the whole media aspect is something that I...
He's like, what, not now?
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to the podcast.
The rest of it, anyway.
The rest of it, yeah.
Well, actually, before you go, I'd like to chip in that the, you know, the present social media situation is a propagandist dream.
It really is.
Yeah.
I'm
dealing with that at the moment. And I've actually taken photos of what I've had to deal with on a certain social media platform where we were boosting our posts, and they've suddenly turned us into a political ad-making money machine or something. I'm not sure how that worked. But anyway, I totally get it. You know, propaganda's huge. So, look, I'll leave you guys to continue with the conversation. My many thanks, Raim. Sorry I've had to jump out at such short notice, but I do appreciate your time coming on. And
My pleasure. I have a tendency to ramble a bit, I think. I hope what I'm saying makes sense to your listeners. I know it makes sense to you too, but I hope there's something useful in what I've said.
Yeah, well, that's it. So you and Freya, keep the conversation going. We've still got a bit of time before you have to finish up. So I'll leave you guys to work with that. I'll say goodbye. Thank you very much. And Freya, I'll talk to you soon. And thank you.
See you. Thank you. Bye.
See ya.
Yeah. So to pick up, where were we? Edward Bernays was, you know, like a bit like, I kind of think of him like Wile E. Coyote from, from Warner Brothers cartoons, super genius. he took that, the propaganda, and he goes, oh, you know, this could actually potentially be something in a time of peace, not just in a time of war, trying to push an agenda from whatever side there. And he created the first public relations company in, I think it was 19, oh, I can't remember, it doesn't matter, it was in the early 30s. So at that point, he made an entire industry out of propaganda by renaming it public relations, and that's become so ingrained. There was an interesting point that was made in some of the research that I was doing that, you know, when Freud's work was published and Bernays was putting that out there, that the most well-known political journalist at the time, Walter Lippmann, said, you know, that democracy needed to be rethought, and that what was required was a new elite who governed, you know, the herd through subliminal information. And, you know, I don't want to get into into that too deeply, but to say, you know, it's been a real, there's been a total craft made out of that for example, you know, things like signage, you know, all of the testing that's been done on what colours make people do what, hence the red and yellow of like the McDonald's advertising. It triggers people to impulse buy, taps into their base needs, their hunger, their thirst, their sexuality, their safety, all of these fundamental survival things that we have really been targeted over a century of honing that craft. It's something that's, you know, that I feel like it took me some time, and still you have to work on it, or I do, to unplug myself from just being triggered by an advertisement that I see,
yeah,
or that's something, yeah, that people say.
And it's a fine art, and it's not just used by people trying to sell products. It's used throughout everything. You know, your examples are easy for anyone to latch onto, but if you just expand that and go, actually, this fine art which has been developed is used in any form of information that's tied to an agenda, basically. So I think the key for all listeners, as you and I, everybody, is to be conscious of it and unhook yourself from what's intended and look at what's actually happening. That's the challenge, I think.
Again, there's some really useful affirmations in Spirit Guide for helping one to do such things. Not just the affirmations, but it's actually the processes that are in this book that help people to even come into a place of centeredness and peace within themselves, so they can even start to begin this process. And yeah, in the same way that, you know, obviously anything that's tied to an agenda is going to use particular colours, phrasing, jingles, presentation, whatever, to help you make the decision to buy into that. In this sense, the words here are all focused on sovereignty of the individual, unconditional love, and creating a place of empowerment within the self, so that one can perceive things with clarity, and then to make heart, wisdom, conscious choices. Is that fair, Cole?
Very well put. And I guess the content of the book is so close to my heart that I forget how powerful it is, because, you know, I live with it every day. And thanks for reminding me and sharing it with your listeners, and sharing the fact that it's now free. I think it's, hopefully it will help a lot of people find their truths, connect with their higher self, connect with clarity, and then perceive truth. Because it's from the self outwards that will, there's no interference there.
Yeah, this is one of the major things that when we were discussing how were we going to go about this edition, and I was really clear that I wanted to have solutions. I wanted solutions in this, not that we can come to a solution to, you know, but I wanted to provide solutions for people to be able to start to find their own self-determination and, you know, not be trapped in fear or judgment or any of these other things that were really unhealthy for them and for each other. So it was clear to me that this was and also clear to my guides, because I don't think I've said this anywhere, but I'll say it here. And I started writing the article and I was like, oh, how did I get this one? I have to do the conspiracy theory one? Okay. So I started writing, and then my whole Word document disappeared. Gonski. And I was like, ugh. And so the point that I went back to is I stopped and I did exactly what I was talking about with these and what Raim, I mean, is talking about with the articles, with the exercises in the book, is I stopped and I centered myself and I said, okay, higher self, okay, team, what is it that I need to include? Where do you want me to go with this? And then I let that go because I didn't get an immediate, oh, do this. I just let that go. I thought, okay, I've put my prayer out there. The answer will come. And I had someone with me who was asking me 1,000 questions about spirituality and all of those sorts of those things. And I picked up off the shelf the spirit guide book. And I said, here, read this. This book will da-da-da-da. And a lot of the experiences that you're having, there will be some really useful exercises that will be profound and assist you in integrating all of these things. And I opened the book up and, of course, I opened directly to page 43, to conspiracy theories. And I was like, right, thank you, team. That answers that question. And I cracked up, of course, and had to explain to the young person what it was that I was laughing at because it wasn't them. It was an in-joke between me and my guides. But, yes, it's that's how that came about. So finding one's way through there because, you get lost in the mind, in the mire of the blah-blah that's out there in all directions. And I think that's one of the other things that occurs to me that's pretty important is, as you said, Raim, you've got to get people to step out of their mind. And the mind is this interesting thing that we all have, and our minds are populated with thoughts, beliefs, and programs.
I thought you said copulated. And they are. No.
True story.
Populated. They're coming off. Enthusiastically.
Our minds are populated with thoughts, beliefs, and programs that may or may not be helpful. We may not realize what's actually even in them because most of our mind's subconscious. Yeah.
Yeah.
And most people have such a busy life that their mind is always going, thinking about what it is that we need to do to get through the next day, to get to the next bit, that most people don't exist in a space of, oh, I need to do this thing now, so do the thing. Mm-hmm. Mind is busy. And then they finish doing the thing and then the mind is peace. I can say, blessedly, I've had the experience of living like that myself for an extended period of time. Until things changed with the pandemic. Then I got very busy in my mind for a while. I'm coming back to that place again now. But in that place, the contents of the mind isn't running the show. But for most people, the mind is unconsciously running the show. And that's what we would call a matrix, isn't it?
Mm.
So talk to us about the matrix and unplugging from the matrix a little.
Well, I'd say the Matrix, the movie, is recommended viewing for all your listeners, and there might be a whole generation who haven't discovered it yet. I find that hard to believe, but there might be. So
there is.
The Matrix is a movie worth downloading, worth watching at home, watching in the big cinema, and it depicts an aspect of our reality. If we say that the if we say the Matrix is real to an extent, in so much as we kind of go back to here again to conspiracy theories, in so much as our reality is controlled as much as we allow it to be controlled. And that's part of the Matrix that he's breaking out. He realizes he's being controlled and he breaks out of it. So if we take that as a journey that we can all make, then it's really worth looking at. We can all opt for inner knowing rather than outer knowing, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense to me. I'm sure it makes perfect sense to all of the listeners out there. I'm absolutely sure. Anything else you'd like to share on the mind, on the Matrix, on any of this feeling, any key stuff for people at this point?
Well, I'm a natural born optimist, but I encourage people to stay optimistic. I encourage listeners to take responsibility for their own journey, to take responsibility for what's going on in their lives, and to change what's happening in their lives if they're not enjoying it. And that might sound huge for some people, but I want to reassure everybody that it's possible. If we take responsibility for what's going on in our lives, then we can change it. It's really, really simple. It may be small steps at first, but we can change how we interact in this reality. We can change what we understand about the reality. And if we use a technique with a licensed practitioner like crystal dreaming, and I say like crystal dreaming, I honestly don't know of anything else that is like it, but I'm trying to be, not say it's my way or the highway. If we use a process like crystal dreaming that safely opens the consciousness to the higher realms without using drugs, then we are well along a path of self-empowerment and changing things that do not ring true for us. And if we go back to Spirit Guide, there are loads of useful techniques in the book that will help people take those first steps. So my message to everybody is stay optimistic and look within. Take any processes you can that take you to your center, which is the center of power. And from there, then you can look at what's going on in the world. And don't believe anything unless you experience it.
Exactly. Perfect. And let's finish with that. Let's finish with an excellent, I've just asked the guides, what would we like to complete with from the book? They're hilarious, right? So they say, finding a light worker. Finding a light worker is very simple. Center yourself in your still place. Prepare to meditate and ask out loud, I and your name of my own free will. Humbly ask that the universe provide me with a loving and talented light worker to help me with my explorations into my deeper self. I ask for my own divine highest good and the divine highest good of all. I ask in full faith, so be it. Thank you, Rain.
And so it is. Yes, my pleasure. I hope it's been useful.
It has been very useful. I can say personally that this book has been a godsend, a blessing, a universe, divine gift, gift from source. Thank you, Rain, for being the channel, for that and all of the people whose sessions that contributed to this, the creating of this book. Thank you also, Rain, for being so generous at this time as to gift this book to humanity, because humanity really, really, really needs it. And for any of you who are looking for a crystal dreaming practitioner or a crystal dreaming course, you can go to
crystaldreaming.com.
And that's crystal-dreaming?
Both. Crystal dreaming is easier to remember.
Crystaldreaming.com. Fantastic. Yeah. And Also, you'll see on there that there's a practitioner's page, there's a courses page, there's everything that you could need. There's information about the process. So check it all out, and I encourage everyone to step into your empowerment and freedom more than ever before. Yeah! Rain's doing like fist pumps in the air right now for all of you out there. Can't see him. Fabulous.
Yeah, thank you, Supernal. Thank you, Anthony, and thank you, Freya. And listeners, I hope you've gleaned something from this chat.
Yes, likewise. And we would like to, as always, to thank drn1.com.au/life. DRN1 has a raft of other shows to tune into, and they are free on drn1.com.au. And remember to check out Supernal Magazine. It's free to subscribe, and you can do so at www.supernalmagazineaustralia.com.au. And you can check out all of our previous podcasts and our video interviews and our back issues on the website. And actually, I'd just like to give one more little mention there, Rain, that people can also check out True Crystal Dreaming Stories on.
Diaryofanurbanshaman.com.
Settle in with a cup of tea and be ready for a wild ride. All right. Thank you, everyone. And you have a supernal week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rain. Bye.